office, and Ms. Anthony, our executive director. And we'll do roll call.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
Dr. Scott?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Sadler?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
We have a quorum. Motion carries.
The Board has a civility policy. I'll read it to you briefly. In accordance with the open meeting law, the Board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct to disrupt the Board from carrying out its business. Those violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior and act civilly. If you cannot do so, you'll be removed from the meeting room. What I'd like to do, if the Board is okay, is run 4A, if possible, all the way to 4J. But I'm going to need a second on my motion.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
In that case, we're going to move on to number 5A.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I think it's a recusal number. One of the questions. Can we revote on one of them?
Sure. Which one do you want to fill out?
Andrew.
Under which A?
C.
C?
Can I make a motion?
Yeah, so we're going to have to come back for A through J. Dr. Rubin's recusing from 4C.
If you're a quorum, I can recuse from the whole thing. You know, there's
okay, so we have quorum, so we can say
it. You're going to recuse.
Okay.
Okay.
So he'll recuse all from 4A through J. And we have to do another vote.
Yes. Is that a motion, Dr. Sheldon?
Yeah.
I'll we second
just,
that.
Yeah, we can just let the record reflect that Dr. Rubin recused on the prior motion.
Okay.
And we should be
thank
good.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, moving along. Let's move to number 5A, Dr. Dana Keaton, case number 20-126.
Oh, I know. That's really part of it.
That's the new legal counsel?
Yes. Oh. Andy Carvis of Wicker Smith O'Hara McCoy and Ford appearing with and on behalf of Dr. Keaton.
Hi. Ms. Anthony, can you give us a quick overview?
This is Board Case 2126 on July 2nd. 2019, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from patient DB, who alleges Dr. Keaton's, quote, lack of professional conduct exposed me to a potentially dangerous, life-threatening situation, end quote. According to respondent, DB presented for the first time on February 21st, 2018, for problems relating to menopause and Parkinson's disease. Based on her assessment, she determined the HINS protocol would be the best course of treatment. She informed DB of the expense associated with this protocol because it required the purchase of specific supplements. After learning DB had not been compliant with the prescriptive treatment protocol for months, respondent terminated the patient relationship. According to respondent, DB's primary complaint against me rests in her frustration that I did not immediately return her phone calls, which she claims placed her in a potentially dangerous health situation. In fact, it was DB herself who placed her health in danger by failing to follow the prescribed protocol and failing to inform my office that she was using an alternative, unprescribed product.
Is the complaint here? Go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the board, I know you've all reviewed the material, so I'll keep my comments very brief. Based upon the investigative report that was prepared by the board, it seemed that the potential concerns related to medical records documentation as opposed to the complaints allegedly raised by the patient, so I'll just briefly touch upon those. It's important for the board to keep in mind that the patient did not present to Dr. Keaton as a primary care physician, and she did not serve that role. It was specifically for evaluation to determine if she was appropriate for the HINGE protocol. When she was determined to be appropriate for that protocol, Dr. Keaton discussed that with her and her husband, who was present with the visit, discussed the cost associated with the protocol because it is cost prohibitive for some individuals, and explained the process of the protocol that it took quite some time to regulate that and get that to where the patient was having appropriate response. Again, the patient was specifically told it was very important that she use the recommended product for the protocol. And it was not until this late June, early July time frame when the patient called and reported some new symptoms. And in response to that, Dr. Keaton was in the process of setting up a teleconference with the patient, herself, and Dr. Hinz to discuss. And then that's when Dr. Keaton learned that the patient had actually not been using the prescribed product for several months. And that was likely why she was beginning to experience the symptoms of blood pressure and other problems that she had not previously presented with. Because of those issues and the perceived deceit involved, Dr. Keaton decided it was no longer appropriate to treat the patient. The board's concerns with respect to the records was that they were sloppier in certain places and didn't consistently reflect the name of the patient. We weren't sure if the copy of the chart contributed to some of that. It is a handwritten chart. We did bring the physical chart here itself. It is specifically very organized in terms of acute problems, on a problem list on one side, as well as all of the patient records, then the SOAP notes, correspondence, labs. As far as physician handwriting goes, I think we're all aware that there are plenty of comments about that, but Dr. Keaton's handwriting, by my account and my review, was readable, and in the chart, with respect to the notes, the patient's name does appear on the top of the SOAP notes, so we believe that they contain adequate information to meet the statutory protocol for adequate medical records. The board also pointed out that it appeared that Dr. Keaton was working diligently with the patient on the protocol, and that the patient herself acknowledged that she did not follow the protocol and failed to inform Dr. Keaton of her noncompliance. With respect to any concern about performance of a physical examination or dealing with a blood pressure issue, Dr. Keaton performed a physical examination relating to the presenting issue of Parkinson's disease and did the Parkinson's disease rating scale examination, the UPQRS, which was in the documentation. It doesn't typically include blood pressure. That's not typically a symptom or a side effect of Parkinson's. Again, she was not serving as the patient's primary care physician and was not treating her for anything other than the Parkinson's disease pursuant to the HINGE protocol. As such, we believe that the care and treatment was appropriate, as well as the medical records being appropriate and meeting the statutory definition of adequate medical records, and would ask that the board dismiss with no basis to proceed. Dr. Keaton is obviously here and again has her chart if anyone would like to ask her questions or see the actual original chart itself. Thank you.
I'm good. I heard Dr. Keaton's letter. I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions.
I have a couple. So she wasn't a primary care patient. The propranolol prescription for 20 milligrams, was that just because she had started treatment with you?
I don't want to prescribe that. I mean, that was prescribed by another doctor.
Oh, they would like to prescribe that? Okay. And then my other question, if somebody does imply the supplementation, is it Makunas, the particular powder you have?
Oh, sorry. She's having a difficult time.
Oh, okay.
So it's the Makuna. He says it's that particular type of product that you have in this form that you need to purchase.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they don't purchase that, then are they aware that most likely they'll have this continuation of care?
There's no exceptions.
So, I mean, if they don't purchase it from you, will you still continue their care? Say they buy it from Thorne or Amazon?
Oh, no, you can't get it from Thorne or Amazon anywhere. You can get it from other providers, but most doctors get it from either mine or mine. I don't have to charge them.
Okay. And if she were to come back in again, is it normally you'll just focus on the Parkinson's aspect, so you're not going to do, you pretty much just don't do the rest of the systems, for example, pulmonary, cardiac. You just tend to focus on that one Parkinson's examination?
Sure. She's still having to do that. So he's asking about in terms of the physical examination you perform when a patient comes in specifically for Parkinson's and the HIMSS protocol. He's asking if you just focus your exam on Parkinson's related issues.
Yes, unless there's something. It is just that. If they're coming in from the HIMSS protocol, I use the Unified Parkinson's Rating Scale, and that is partially physical diagnosis, not completely, but primarily.
Okay.
Because you're looking at Parkinson's related symptoms only, and that's what you're going to be monitoring.
And I read her complaint, and I have also read yours, but your response. But the only question I would have is, I just would want to make sure that if they come in, they see you, they start the protocol, that they're aware that they have to, you know, they're going to need to continue that protocol in order to have that phone consult with this. Is it Dr. Hinz?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the patients are aware that you'll need to continue the protocol. It costs you roughly this amount of money in order to proceed with the program.
Yeah. She does very specifically inform them. She provides them with information from neural research and lets them know ahead of time this is the cost of the protocol, and the expectation is that you will remain on the protocol if you want to continue receiving consultation services for adjustment of the supplement pursuant to the protocol. And that did continue, you know, throughout the time frame from early 2018 through the mid part of 2019. And then again in that time frame, it was unbeknownst to Dr. Keaton that the patient actually went out and purchased something that she deemed was similar, but it was not, and she did not inform Dr. Keaton of that. And the only way that Dr. Keaton ultimately found out is in close proximity to this phone call that was supposed to happen with Dr. Hinz. The patient actually called and asked for a 30-day supply, and that prompted Dr. Keaton to go and look and see when the last time it had been purchased or filled. And they learned that it had been several months, and that's when they found out she was actually using something else.
Okay. And the final question I have is, did you send the patient a letter of discontinuation of care? If you did, I didn't see it in the package.
No, I did.
You did? Okay. So I'll need someone to make a motion.
I move to dismiss.
I need a second.
I second that.
And Anthony, roll call.
Okay. Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Ms. Gallant?
Aye.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thanks. Moving along, we're in number five. We'll move on to 5B. And that's Dr. Mosley. And this is case number 2134. And whenever you have a chance.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is case number 28-134. On August 22, 2019, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from KJ, the wife of TJ. The complainant alleges Dr. Mosley, respondent, failed to provide a complete physical examination including vital signs or an adequate evaluation, and was negligent in prescribing medication and supplements to the patient without first reviewing his labs. PJ is a 64-year-old male presented to respondent for the first time on August 15, 2019. According to respondent, PJ's wife did not accompany him on the first visit. The patient intake form reflects PJ presented with concerns of bruising, headaches, and cramping, and indicated he has a cough. PJ's last labs were run in 1974. Respondent ordered labs on the first visit, but failed to perform a physical examination on the first visit. The lab results were reported on 8/18/2019. Respondent recognized the appearance of stage 4 chronic kidney disease and took steps to set up an immediate follow-up with instructing the patient to discontinue the supplements until seen. The complainant alleges respondent did not address what she refers to as PJ's significant weight loss. However, there is nothing about weight loss indicated on the intake form.
Dr. Mosley, your response. We've read it, but can you tell us verbally?
Yeah, okay. So, I guess I'll just give a gist of it. The patient came to me and said, you know, he has these like bruising and then some headaches that were occasional. He said that he works a lot outside and drinks a lot of beer. And, you know, he said his like happy place is to be outside, like away from, you know, the stress of the family. So, and the headache, you know, was like off and on, only sporadic, but he would usually just take an aspirin and it would go away. And that was his like main concern. And then he also said he had like a little bruise that didn't seem to go away. I visualized it, but I didn't put it in the first examination, but I couldn't really tell if it was, you know, just a discoloration of skin or a true bruise. And then he said that he had a cough that he had for like 8 or 9 years. That didn't seem to go away either. And so what I obviously thought was maybe some dehydration because he had a really low water intake. So I said, and also, you know, he was on the night shift for I think about like 10 or 12 years before this, and he was having some insomnia issues as well. So I just recommended the cortisol manager, just low dose herbs to try to help him sleep a little bit and regulate his cortisol curve, and just gave him some B vitamins, and then said that maybe he could, you know, take some electrolytes in his gallon of water when he works outside. And that's the medication supplements that I recommend at the first visit. And then when we got his labs back, I immediately, you know, had our front desk reach out to the patient and bring him in, because obviously we saw that stage 4 kidney failure was pretty evident. And so when the patient came in, he did bring his wife the second time. However, she was very rude towards me as well as the patient. And I was trying to explain to the patient, like, what this diagnosis means. He seemed like he was in a state of shock. But I was trying to, you know, explain to him that, you know, it's going to be essential for him to get a nephrologist on board, like, ASAP. But his wife was just very angry and was standing up, and we had to cut our appointment short because she was standing up, wanting to go, didn't want any more of my recommendations, didn't want anything at all. She wanted to have the supplements returned, and I said, you know, the electrolytes definitely can return them. However, the other ones that you opened, I was obviously thinking once you had a nephrologist on board, we want to have the B vitamins anyway, so I said, keep them in the fridge, and then we can, like, reuse them, because I didn't think that they were going to obviously not continue care, but anyway, so then she kind of, you know, was standing up and leaving, and so I wasn't really able to talk to him more about, you know, like, the referrals, and, I mean, I gave him obviously the referral that he did go to, but it was just an appointment cut short, and so I couldn't do the TE on the second visit like I would have wanted to, because the first visit, we went over an hour, and that's, you know, normally why I deferred it, because I didn't necessarily see in his, you know, complaint that a physical exam was warranted, and I didn't think that it would really change my treatment too much, so that's why I failed to do the physical exam the first visit. I think that's it.
Any Okay, so he came in for the first visit. He claims he hasn't had labs since 1974.
And that wasn't like a, you know, like, he, it was more like, oh, I haven't had labs in like, you know, 30 years. I don't know where the 1974 came from. So, I think that I said in my first that, oh, so, sorry. No, I thought it was 1974. Okay, then you're right. Sorry. I thought he said 30 years, but that was my mistake.
He initially came in to see you for establishing care. Is that
so? I talked to him on the first visit, and I should have documented this, but I always ask my patients, like, because I would say, like, most of the time I'm more like a consultation. I mean, I'm still my first year out, and so I still, like, want my patients to have, like, an allopathic primary care physician and see me as well for, like, you know, other complaints. So I talked to him about that, and he said that, you know, he has, like, the VA for that, like, PCP established care. And so I was under that assumption. And so I was thinking he was seeing me as more of adjunctive care.
Okay, but where I'm getting kind of tied up here is,
yeah,
he came in with headaches, bruising, et cetera, and a cough. And had he done just a brief physical exam, he chest, you know, pulmonary, et cetera, that would have probably, you know, sufficed.
Mm-hmm.
But he was hypertensive at the nephrology appointment.
Yes.
And that obviously didn't help his stage 4 renal. If someone comes in to see you now, do you now do just a brief physical exam and then go from there?
No, I do like a full physical exam for everyone coming in to see me now, even if it means I go 15 minutes over their appointment. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, because we don't know if he had people edema, we don't know if he had any other, you know, signs of renal distress. So that, you know, that's where my concern is.
Mm-hmm.
So do you differentiate? Do you say, I want you to continue with your primary, and I'm willing to be adjunctive care, or do you assume the whole role of being a physician?
No, I definitely do. I'm just saying I always ask my patients before they come in, am I going to be your primary or am I adjunctive care? Because if I'm going to be the primary, then, you know, my role is going to be obviously stepped up.
Right.
Versus adjunctive care, you know, they have their primary care for their, like, you know, just general, like, dermatology exams and things like that.
I mean, the only thing I would really suggest that you look at is,
yeah,
if they come in and they say, oh, they want to know about which vitamin B to buy, that you still run the process through.
Yeah.
Because stuff like this probably wouldn't, you know, have happened. Did you refer to the nephrology or did the wife call?
No, I think, I wanted to refer to nephrology, but he said he didn't want to talk about it. He was like in a state of shock. And so I told him, like, you know, please call back, but I didn't give him the specific referral.
Okay. I mean, I think your office is about 2 miles from mine. So do you have a group of people you work with?
It's the same one, actually, the Southwest Kidney Institute. That's
okay.
The one that we refer to for nephrology.
Okay. What's your thoughts?
So did you refund the money? I don't know if you're kidding. Did you refund the money to him?
They never came back in to do anything. Or, like, contacted our office.
So on the second visit, you didn't have time to do any more additional examination, explanations with the wife and all this?
They were only in there for about 10 or 12 minutes.
I'm assuming you didn't charge him for a full half hour.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
They should be happy that you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, schedule that time with you.
Yeah.
I think that should be noted. I think you missed the lunch protocol for 8 or 9 years because of this, but I don't see anything bigger. I think you were cautious. Do you think if you were to continue on even magnesium, even 600 milligrams daily after a week, according to all managers,
and B vitamins that would have been problematic from a renal perspective?
Well, B vitamins are usually meant for protective. So I am always going to err on the side of caution. So I always, I don't know, it wouldn't do necessarily more damage to a kidney. However, I wanted to err on the side of caution and to stop everything because I wouldn't want to have a nephrologist on board, especially if it's, you know, this advanced.
I'm still trying to figure out sort of like the nature of the complaint that you gave treatment without getting labs first.
I think.
Pretty light. You know, we always, you're new in practice, and there's this fine line for those who don't practice that, you know, if you don't give a treatment to somebody, they may give the same complaint. I paid all this money, they didn't even treat me. No, what do we go to labs? What is this? I can get labs any time. I can order myself. You know, so there's a fine line in that. You'll see that if you didn't practice, and as you go through the balance, and how you feel, you know, reading the patient as a party of the room. So, there's a problem. I don't really have any questions. Okay, I think you had a lesson here. You know, 1 year, or maybe not even a year, I don't know, you're sitting in front of the board, which could be scary, wondering what the heck got you here. I don't know what the nature of the complaint was, but to me, 2 months not that far away, if somebody really, really is motivated to complain and really feels it, I think they should show up here. So I don't know how serious they were about the complaint. So they got in there and tell us in the other person's story. So,
Carol, do you have any more contact with the complainant?
I informed her about the, you know, I noticed them on the board meeting. She said her husband was too weak to come to the board meeting.
Can I make a statement on that? Mm-hmm. So we were getting the scheduled follow-up notes from the nephrologist from Southwest Kidney Institute. It looked like that he did obviously follow up with them, and then the protocol of medications that he was put on, he was actually did not tolerate it, and that actually put him in the hospital from the medications. And they had to, I have like two of the charts if you would like to see from, or the consultation notes from them that said that they had to change a lot of his medications because he wasn't able to tolerate the first like protocol that they put him on.
Can I see the chart next to your board? And I know you're, you know, this fresh out of school, but if you were to treat him, if he had the fumes with pharmacology, would you have pretty much, maybe not to the extent they did, would you have started any of these meds on him?
I would refer to nephrology.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. I would just caution you that there's probably not that much delineation between if they come in and say what you know, protein powder should I buy versus another. Just, you know, it has to be really, I don't know if it's the class I see in school, but just constantly BYA. Even if you do a BP and a quick chest, you know, cardiac lung.
Yeah.
Then, you know, if something like this comes down the turnpike, you've got better leggings to stand on.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to make a motion. I'll make a motion that we dismiss this, but I'll need someone to second the motion.
I second the motion.
Roll call, please. Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, so five, I believe we're done. Let's go ahead and move on to number six. Consent agenda vote review, and that was for the draft minutes that we have in the last time. does anyone have any questions? Do you want to make a motion?
I move to accept.
Would that be items 6A through B, Dr. Rubin? 6A?
6A. Okay, then how about 6A? Well, I think we can do this all in one motion. So we'll...
I'll amend my motion to include 6B.
Okay, thank you.
Other opinions on number 6A and B?
Can I just note that this is September, right? And then we have October on the computer.
So they were October. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well then we need to
bring it back.
Yeah, we'll table it. Thank you.
Let us know that 6A and D have been tabled for our next meeting.
I reject or retract my motion.
Either way. Number 7, review consideration possible action. And the other individual's not here, so I think we can do them both at once.
Are there any open cases for either of them?
Well, let's see.
There's a laundry list full of
them. And I move to accept 7A and B.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Let's do number 8, review consideration regarding board matter compensation and travel policy.
This had nothing to do with you. I can blame you, but it's not your fault. We got a visit from the Auditor General, who is apparently doing a lot of the boards, and they wanted a policy procedure on board member compensation and travel policy. So this is basically taken right out of the SAM information that's kind of standard. I just need the board to approve, or if they want to make changes, so I can give it to the auditor so she can close her report out, and it would reflect that we do, in fact, now have policy and procedure.
Are you satisfied with it?
Do you have any questions, concerns, changes?
Okay. Dr. Spad, do you have a comment on number 8?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. So I think Dr. Rubin made the motion, number 8. We need to second that.
I second that, too.
And we probably need a roll call on that.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Spat?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Sablik?
Aye.
Ms. Kibitz?
Aye.
Motion carries. I don't know. Took it.
Dang. Executive Director's Report, run number 9.
Any questions? Concerns? Dr. Rubin, you look very serious.
No, I was contemplating record meeting time.
Okay.
Future agenda items. So I got something I was going to mention to you guys, and I want to run by the other physicians. Is it possible, I think we've had this discussion before, and we can put it on the agenda for December, for physician members to get a few tripling of CME hours for their participation in the board.
That would take...
Jesus.
What?
That would take
We should put it on.
Okay, we'll just put it on. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put it...
And attorneys can get it too.
Farm. It's all farm.
Yeah.
We don't know those stuff.
Pharmacology.
Okay. I'll put it on the December agenda and then I'll gather information.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce. That was
right for you. Thank you. Well, I was looking at my CME hours, and I thought, okay, well, I'll see a coffee. And I spent time on the board, so. Anyway, that's the doc that we can go get legal, obviously. Call to the public. Mr. Gaswell, suggestion. Actually, two quick items.
I know.
On Barabas, the executive director of the legal person and expert medical association. Relate to the last agenda item. If that's something that you want to accomplish, I can work with Gail and Andrew, and we would donate the CME approval process. We typically charge outside groups to do that. So if we're able to do that, we're willing to provide that service.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And finally, I just wanted to let the board know, if you don't already, that Dr. Rubin was acknowledged and recognized by his peers a couple of weeks ago. And received the Arizona Naturopathic Medical Association Physician of the Year Award. So, that was it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Anything else? Anyone have any other comments?
Not you.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I was late. All right, well, it is 1:14 p.m., and I guess we're adjourned.
Wonderful.
Are you walking over here?